You're a pro at running your life, at committing to your workout, at showing up every day. At Bombas, we're pros too. Pros at making socks. Our sport assortment has specialized socks for whatever sport you're committed to. Running, hiking, golf, Pilates, and so much more. Made with sweat-wicking yarns, blister-fighting details, and targeted arch support. Bombas Sport is pro-level socks from the pros of socks. For another pro, you. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com and use code audio.
What if you could see what's happening inside your body? Prenuvo's whole body scan screens for hundreds of conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one, all in under an hour. And now, you can go beyond imaging with 80-plus blood biomarkers that help complete the picture. This Labor Day, save $300 off your scan when you book at prenuvo.com. That's prenuvo.com. Save $300 now through September 8th at prenuvo.com. Terms and conditions apply.
People say, "I got you," all the time. Dads say it to their kids the first time they ride a bike. Friends say it to other friends when they buy them lunch. It's a good thing when someone's got you. It's especially good when someone's got you with important things like your health. And that's where WeShare's got you. We got you with a massive nationwide network of over 1 million doctors, which means you can likely keep your current doctor you know and trust. We got you with affordable prices that can save individuals up to $5,000 annually compared to traditional insurance, and save families even more. And we've got you with over 68,000 CVS Caremark pharmacies across the country. If you're tired of overpriced health insurance bills, come visit us at WeShareHealth.org or call 1-888-WeShare. Other smart Americans are making the switch every day. In a world filled with companies that cost you, it's nice to have one that's got you. We Share Health. We got you.
All righty, folks. Welcome back to KDKA Radio. I'm filling in for Marty. This is Brandon McGinley from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. And earlier, I had Matt from Collier, and the phone system, I probably was user error by me. And I'm going to see if I can get Matt. Hey, Matt, you there?
And can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you, Matt. Okay, talking PPS, right?
There you go. Good. I always enjoy when you're on talking local politics and matters here locally. You hit the nail on the head earlier. It all comes down to leadership. You know, between yourself and the previous caller, we know what the problems are. And frankly, the solutions aren't really that difficult. It's the intestinal fortitude that it takes in order to get these policies changed. And that's the problem, and that's where it starts at Harrisburg. I mean, it's been 3 years. 3 years since the state Supreme Court found the way we fund our school systems in Pennsylvania to be unconstitutional.
Yep.
Yet I've seen no proposals from the governor's office. I've seen no proposals from the Republicans in Harrisburg. In order to get anything done, it takes 2 years, my understanding, with the process. So we're
it took a while.
2 years further down the road.
And it's still in process in Harrisburg. I think it's a kind of a phase in, if I remember correctly, to get that resolved.
Right, but I haven't even seen any proposals, have you, on how to fix it?
Well, I mean, so a couple things on that. One is that they have, like, I've seen the extremely complicated spreadsheets. They have made some adjustments to the funding scheme. So there more money is going into Pennsylvania school districts directly from Harrisburg. But here's the rub for Pittsburgh, and this is the thing that's going to really blow your mind. They have this gets weedy and nerdy quickly, but basically there's this hold harmless provision in the state law that determines how much money you school districts get from the state, which means that if you are shrinking or not growing as fast as others, you don't lose money from the state. So the idea is that you don't want a school district to get punished in terms of state funding if they are not growing. So because PPS has shrunk so much,
right,
it is actually massively overfunded from the state. And when they did redo the formula for state funding, PPS got zero more dollars because we were and still are overfunded because the district has shrunk so much. We actually get more than other districts get per capita in state money.
And that's what's most frustrating about this, Brandon. Now I appreciate you providing that. And that's what's even more frustrating, what I talked to Marty about last week. It doesn't make a difference. It's to the point now with Pittsburgh Public Schools. It doesn't make a difference. You could cut them a $50 million check tomorrow. The money doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's what is that money being used for? Where is it going? How do we get these improvements? If you cut them a $50 million check tomorrow, what changes?
What will happen? That's the thing. And this is what I think. This is what I think Rachel Heisler has gotten at when she did a report on the procurement procedures. And she found that there are dozens and dozens of things that the district has procured where they did not use the typical process. And if they had used the process, there's good evidence that they would have gotten more competitive bids and driven the price down. I watched, if you ever want to really feel really despairing about the state of leadership in the city, watch a Pittsburgh public school board meeting. I remember watching one. It was about this topic. And Gene Walker, the school board president, who I think is a serious person, by the way, asked the head of operations, some kind of high level, you know, kind of bureaucrat with the district, about a contract that the district had been under, and instead of putting it up for bid when it expires, they just consistently asked for it to be extended. And Gene Walker said, you know, why don't we put this up for bid? That way we can see if there's any better offer out there. And the guy from the district, and this is why I think the problem is really cultural with the bureaucracy, and this is, I think, you know, a fundamental problem. The answer that came back was, well, you know, we like these guys. They know how we work, and so we're just comfortable with them. It's like, that's not how you are stewards of taxpayer money. That's choosing lowest common denominator. That's just saying, you know, like, and when you say, oh, they know how we work, is that a good thing? Maybe it would be nice to work with people who don't know how you work and could tell you how to work better. But it's just, there's this complacency. And ultimately, this is where, again, I think there's a culture problem at the district. There's a culture problem across government, but I think the district PPS is a particular problem here. And who is empowered to fix the culture? A, the superintendent, and I do think his heart's in the right place on this, but it's hard to do. And two, the school board, because ultimately they all answer to the school board. And if the school board isn't willing to kind of be a jerk about these things and say, no, that's not good enough, that's a ridiculous answer, then nothing's ever going to change.
Well, again, Brandon, it comes down, and I see this every day in boards that I'm involved with, especially in the Pittsburgh area, and the previous caller hit the nail on the head. It's, well, that's the way we've always done it, so we're just going to continue to do it that way. Well, you can't when things have changed to the dramatic level where they have, where you're down, you know, 23,000 students in the last 20 years or so, where your budget's exploded, you know, $200 million in the last 10 years. Like, you have to systematically change. And that comes to another point, and you hit the nail on the head, and this is where Harrisburg, I think, does need to get involved, is you have local elected officials, I get that, for essentially a volunteer position handling a $750 million budget.
Yeah.
In what world does that make sense?
Absolutely. No, it's, we are, the systems that were put in place are no longer suited to the circumstances. And I know that this means that, you know, people will lose jobs, okay? People will lose their little fiefdoms. When we consolidate, and I say when, because it will have to happen eventually, when some of these Ohio Valley towns or Mon Valley towns or Allegheny Valley towns combine, there are going to be fewer dog catchers. There are going to be fewer tax collectors, you know? But the thing is that, again, this is kind of all the way back to the beginning of the show, I was saying adults need to be adults. And too often, whether we're talking about schools and kids, or we're just talking about the basics of governance, the leaders aren't willing to be leaders. And being a leader means, this is like earlier I was saying, who do we remember as like really, really notable leaders in Pittsburgh history? You're thinking your David Lawrences and your Richard Calegaris. They didn't sit around and wait to be told what to do. They didn't twiddle their thumbs and say, oh, well, this is going to upset five activists in Morningside. Yeah. Like, no, they just did it. And they told people how it was going to be. And ultimately, this is the kind of the secret sauce or whatever of urban governance. This is something, one of the on the relatively short list of things that Joe Biden said that I completely agree with, that the hardest job in politics is big city mayor, because you are juggling all of these different responsibilities, all these different stakeholders. Everybody wants a piece of you. The only way to do it is to either be borderline dictatorial or empower people to do that on your behalf. That's the only way it works. And if you're constantly anxiety ridden over what, again, like five activists in some neighborhood think, you know, when they trotting out school children to yell at you about, it's just not, it's, you have to be willing to say, sorry, this isn't what's good. Hey, Matt, I'm going to be up against a break, but thanks for the call, man.
I appreciate it, Brian.
But no, you ultimately, you need to be able to say, I'm sorry, I don't care, or I'm sorry, you're wrong. And that's just that's the only way. And there is a cultural thing. We'll talk about it after this. But there is a cultural thing in Pittsburgh political culture where there is an unwillingness to say, especially in public, that systems aren't what they should be, that people aren't doing their jobs. It's and it holds us back. Earlier, we're talking about how we need to be unsentimental about, you know, clearing up public spaces. Well, we also need to be unsentimental about fixing our systems and being willing to say what's not working. More after this.
Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas is styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
What if you could see what's happening inside your body? Prenuvo's whole body scan screens for hundreds of conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage 1, all in under an hour. And now, you can go beyond imaging with 80-plus blood biomarkers that help complete the picture. This Labor Day, save $300 off your scan when you book at prenuvo.com. That's prenuvo.com. Save $300 now through September 8th at prenuvo.com. Terms and conditions apply.
People say, I got you, all the time. Dads say it to their kids the first time they ride a bike. Friends say it to other friends when they buy them lunch. It's a good thing when someone's got you. It's especially good when someone's got you with important things like your health. And that's where WeShare's got you. We got you with a massive nationwide network of over 1 million doctors, which means you can likely keep your current doctor you know and trust. We got you with affordable prices that can save individuals up to $5,000 annually compared to traditional insurance, and save families even more. And we've got you with over 68,000 CVS Caremark pharmacies across the country. If you're tired of overpriced health insurance bills, come visit us at WeShareHealth.org or call 1-888-WeShare. Other smart Americans are making the switch every day. In a world filled with companies that cost you, it's nice to have one that's got you. We Share Health. We got you.
Gear from MLBShop.com helps you show everyone what team you're with before you even say a word. So people start asking you things locals and fans know, like,
you with the crew?
You from the D?
Where'd you go to high school?
Your dad put you in brown and gold?
You see skins, girl?
You get your Dodger dog?
Siempre 305?
You see Big Dumper 60?
Do you see him put Vladdy in the jacket?
How about 47?
You see Judges 62?
Shohei's 50-50?
The gear says it all.
Cut from the city. Go to MLBShop.com.
MLB trademarks used with permission.
Alrighty, folks. Brandon McGinley from the Post-Gazette filling in this, now it's this afternoon, for Marty today. I'll be here till 2 o'clock. And yeah, we've been talking about PPS and, just the broader problem of a lack of leadership and not just, you know, and political leadership, but also just the leadership of being a grown-up in a world that needs grown-ups, you know, whether it's school board or, you know, yeah, one of the issues we were talking about earlier was uniforms in struggling school districts, and how Stow Rocks, one of the most struggling school districts in the state, is pulling away from uniforms. And then, you know, just heard during the news previous top of the hour that in Wilkinsburg, now they're making noises about wanting to get rid of their policy. And the reason that was given was things like, oh, well, students are getting kicked out of class because they don't follow the policy. Well, that's the point of a policy. The point of a policy is to enforce a standard of conduct. And if kids aren't fulfilling that standard, then yes, there should be consequences. So this sounds like a feature, not a bug. But let's take it a step further and take seriously, I think, the most compelling criticism of a uniform policy, which is it is expensive. We have had our kids in schools with uniforms, and man, I think the uniform people, they gouge you because they know you have only a few options to get the precise uniforms you need. So I get it. But what about, instead of saying, oh, this is potentially inequitable, therefore we need to get rid of the policy and just let everybody do whatever they want, what about instead say, hey, let's set aside some money to offset the cost of uniforms? Or let's set aside some money to provide uniforms. Or if the school district is so cash-strapped it can't do that, what if instead of school board members and local officials going and saying, oh, we got to get rid of this policy, what if they set up a community uniform bank? These are all things, this is ultimately how a neighborhood, a community functions best, is not by saying there are no standards. It's by making standards and then helping those who struggle to meet those standards to do so. That is what, like, if we're talking about equity, like that to me, that's real equity. Real equity is building community structures that help people thrive and not saying we're giving up. We're giving up on standards because it might hurt somebody. No, that's a race to the bottom. That's a race to the bottom. That's how you get in the situations that we're in. So, no, you need leaders who are willing to be leaders and not just give in to the complaining or participate in the complaining. That's the worst thing of all, when the leaders just parrot the complaining or participate in it or lead the complaining. That's not leadership. That's not what our kids need to see. That's not what us as everyday citizens need to see. We need to believe that the people who are in charge of running our systems, running our institutions, aren't complainers, because that just further erodes trust in the systems that we need. Anthony in Oakland, welcome to the show.
Well, you know, I don't buy your having a clothing bank and all this. Young man, these kids have $1,000 cell phones, $400 sneakers. We don't have a economic problem. They get whatever they want when they want that. So now they're upset about a standard and wearing a pair of khakis and a dress shirt? Come on. See, listen, here's what's happening to Allegheny County, and it's happening to urban areas all over the country right now. You've got a bunch of progressives who see finances as monopoly money. So you've got this school board here who, it doesn't matter that the population has gone down and the tax base is down. They expect to still be living as if it was the good old days.
Yeah.
So it'll take an Act 47 to go after the school system to hit them with reality.
Yeah. So, and there is such
them,
a structure.
They just raise
so
your taxes.
It's not Act 47, but there is a Department of Education system that I think the legislature can accelerate it. But no, hey Anthony, your point is well taken about the question of like the ability to afford uniforms. Like, you know, I think that broadly you're correct that it's a question not necessarily of money, but of priorities. And I think that, you know, basically kind of compelling people to adjust their priorities wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. I think that you're basically right about that. That being said, there are folks who, for whom it would be a genuine struggle, and it's not a question of priorities. They have their priorities right, and it still is a struggle. And when you're arguing this kind of thing, it is my view is that it's best to try to, you know, give the thing you're criticizing the best possible gloss you can. And I think that's the best argument against a uniform policy, but I think it fails for all the reasons that I described. But no, your point is well taken on that.
Sir, if you have parents, look, when I saw what was happening, I have four boys.
Yeah.
My last who was in city school was 35 years ago, and I saw that it was deteriorating.
Yeah.
So what did I do? I took a second job to make sure that I put him in Catholic school.
Yeah.
Because I knew that he needed a better education than what was happening in the public schools.
Yeah.
Because he wanted to learn, but if you have four students that want to learn and 20 who don't want to do anything but disrupt the class,
yep,
nothing works.
Absolutely.
So
no.
Instead of the school system worrying about the getting the 20 to acquiesce to how the four want to learn, they were more concerned with the four.
Yeah.
And trying to dumb them down.
Well, the phrase that comes to mind, and I forget who coined it, it's a contemporary writer, toxic empathy, where we're so wound up with trying to be empathetic for kind of the smallest, kind of a small group of folks who, you know, may or may not need some kind of intervention or whatever, that you end up actually ruining or substantially degrading the systems for everybody else. And that is a race to the bottom. That is a lowest common denominator thing. And I think what you're getting at there, you know, that's a real phenomenon. I agree.
You know what? And unfortunately, these Democratic cities, this is Democratic cities. I'm a lifelong Democrat.
Yeah.
But these progressives, they live in another world.
Yeah.
Like I said, on county council and in Amarado, she saw what the budget looks like. They all know what the budget looks like. What do? They just raise property taxes.
Yeah.
They don't cut staff. They don't lay off. They don't cut spending. And so to them, like I said, it's monopoly money.
Yeah.
It's not the real world. Same thing with city council.
I think there are definitely structural and cultural problems in government that, and Anthony, I'm going to be up against a break real quick, so I'm going to let you go, but thank you for the call. This actually raises an interesting question that I'm going to get to later, which is, okay, the city government is in bad shape financially. Is the right thing to do to find ways to raise even more money, which is the proposal from Anthony Coghill, Barb Warwick, and there's a third whose name Kim Salinitro, to tax skill games and also like dartboards and stuff. We'll talk about that later. But I think... this could be because I'm too close to the situation. It could be because I've had my nose in these documents too much and I need to be a little bit more detached from it. But I do find it difficult to find where you can cut to the degree that's needed to bring the thing back to kind of back to being, you know, fiscally sound. And I do think that definitely at the county level, I think that tax increase was actually needed. We'll talk about more about this later because I want to get back. This is... maybe the biggest question facing the city governments in governance right now generally is, can you get these governments back to a decent place financially without raising revenue? And I think that it's harder than people realize. Back after this.
You're a pro at running your life, at committing to your workout, at showing up every day. At Bombas, we're pros too. Pros at making socks. Our sport assortment has specialized socks for whatever sport you're committed to. Running, hiking, golf, Pilates, and so much more. Made with sweat-wicking yarns, blister-fighting details, and targeted arch support. Bombas Sport is pro-level socks from the pros of socks. For another pro, you. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com and use code audio.
Queen Carvania stood haloed by the morning sun, An army hung on her every word.
My champions! I have sold my chariot on Carvana! 'Twas a lovely SUV, an inexplicably queenly offer. They're even coming to the castle to collect it! Tonight, we feast!
An offer you can feast on. Sell your car today on Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.
You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it?
Yeah, so do we.
Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about, like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today.
DSW, let us surprise you.
A beautifully designed Squarespace website is the difference between thinking about photography school and selling your portraits online. It's the difference between giving away those cookies you just made for free and running your cookie empire. A beautifully designed Squarespace website is the difference between having a movie reviewing hobby and a movie reviewing career. Squarespace, because no matter what you're into, a website makes it real. Use offer code THEDIFFERENCE for 30% off select plans. Terms and conditions apply.
What if you could see what's happening inside your body? Prenuvo's whole body scan screens for hundreds of conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one, all in under an hour. And now you can go beyond imaging with 80 plus blood biomarkers that help complete the picture. This Labor Day, save $300 off your scan when you book at prenuvo.com. That's prenuvo.com. Save $300 now through September 8th at prenuvo.com. Terms and conditions apply.
Alrighty, folks. Welcome back. This is Brandon McGinley filling in for Marty until 2 o'clock today. And yeah, we've been talking about we've been talking about a little bit of everything. Talking about the PPS situation. Talking about city and county finances. You know, I didn't come to this position lightly, but I do think that I let me put it this way. I'm a lot more open to some ways of raising revenue for the city and the county than I used to be. Part of this, I think, is that I frankly spent a lot of time looking at the documents and talking with people. And I know, especially from the outside looking in, especially from the suburbs or from Washington County looking in, the situation in terms of the city of Pittsburgh's governance looks pretty dire. And in terms of the actual way the finances were run, especially under the previous administration, it is pretty dire. However, I have also come to know a lot of really, really smart and competent people who really have a passion for Pittsburgh and have a passion for governance. And, I'm going to pull this up. I got an email from, this is the first time this happened. I got an email at my work account, my Post-Gazette account. Is it my Post-Gazette account? Yeah, my Post-Gazette account, while I was on the air about something I said on air. And it goes something like this. Your solution is to hand leadership of PPS over to the city. How's the state takeover of Philly schools going? Not too good. I agree change is needed, but handing the reins to either of these entities is laughable. And this is I'm sure a lot of listeners have been thinking that. Okay, well, handing over any further control of the school district to the city, isn't that just going to make it worse? I will just say that in my experience, I have a lot stronger sense of competency at the city level and at the school district level. And at the end of the day, the mayor's office has a power to convene, a power even to compel people to do things that no one else does. And when you have a mayor, and especially a mayor who empowers people to act on his or her behalf in a way that is constructive, I think that, yes, the city can do more and do better things than I think a lot of people give it credit for, and I think actually could step in a fruitful way with the district, because a mayor could empower people who frankly know how to run institutions much better than the current system does. Now, do we need to raise more money? The thing is again, when you look at it, you know, what are you going to cut? Are you going to cut public works? Well, then everyone's going to be calling in to complain when the trees aren't picked up after a storm, or when the snow isn't cleared after a snowstorm. Are we going to cut permits, licenses, and inspections? Well, then people are going to call in and complain when they can't get the new plumbing for their new kitchen inspected in a timely manner. Running a city is a complicated thing and includes a lot of complicated tasks. Are there inefficiencies? Of course there are. Is there probably some small scale graft? Yes, that's part of running a city of 300,000 people. That's just what happens. Can it be mitigated? Yes, it can be. Is there savings in those areas? Yes, but it's very difficult to get at. Look at what Elon Musk tried to do with the federal government. He got nowhere. If anything, the federal government's spending more than it was. Government is a difficult beast to tackle, and finding the kind of savings, what you're ultimately going to find is probably pretty rinky-dink compared to what you hope to find. Here's where the city can save money. The city can save money where it's doing things it 1,000,000% does not have to do and does badly. That's things like the Food Justice Fund, okay? The city does not need a Food Justice Fund. We are swimming in philanthropy in Pittsburgh, billions and billions of dollars, and the city decides, oh, we're now going to be a foundation too? We're going to be a grant-making organization? This is, if anything, by the way, this is the kind of behavior, this is the kind of activity that if the district attorney, Steve Zappala, comes up with anything when looking into the Gainey administration, this is where it will be. It's going to be when the city's trying to act like a grant maker instead of acting like a city. There's where your savings is. Your savings is millions of dollars in Food Justice Fund. Your savings is at least partially coming out of things like Housing Opportunity Fund or Stop the Violence Fund. All of these trust funds where we're plowing money in every year for effects that are marginal and where the city is way outside its expertise. That's where you can find the savings. The county's even harder because the county doesn't do that kind of thing. And the county's largely a pass-through for a lot of federal money. The county is an even more complicated thing. But I don't actually think raising money, a little bit more money, in order to ensure that the city's core services can not just be sustained, but better, that I think is where you can make a case for a little more revenue. Mark in the North Side, welcome to the show, Mark.
Yes, hey, listen, how you doing today, man? I just called to, of course, slightly disagree with your assessment of the Pittsburgh School Board. Mm-hmm. Part of the problem, or one of the biggest problems, the hidden problems, is that regardless of what the board and the administration attempt to do, I think they can handle the criticism coming from most taxpayers and from parents. The problem is that when the criticism comes from sometimes shock jocks with a 50,000-watt microphone and no ability to respond professionally, it makes it difficult, okay? And I've been a part of that on the wrong side of it. It's brutal. Yeah. It's painful. And it absolutely makes no sense, because if you're trying to build a city, why would you attack the only school district in the city? And if I'm not mistaken, Pittsburgh is still, I think, the second largest school district in the area. I mean, in the state.
In the state, yeah. So, only Philly's bigger, yeah.
Yeah, so when have you, and please don't take it personal.
No, I won't.
When have you, as the station, reached out and gave a week of discussion to the superintendent of the Pittsburgh Public Schools? When have you reached out and talked about the roles and responsibilities of elected school board members and what they are trying to do and attempt to do? And then when have you said, every time there's a story that comes out of the school board, we're going to balance it. We're not going to just attack. We're not going to race bait. We're not going to let it lead the story.
Mm-hmm.
Because what happens is potential homeowners listen to that nonsense, and they make decisions by purchasing a home elsewhere or not putting their children in the Pittsburgh public schools. Finally, why not even this station? And no, there is no station in this city that dedicates at least 1 hour to talking about the second largest school district, which is Pittsburgh here. Now, there's a Catholic school stage programming, but when do you step up, you meaning the city, and commit to the public school system here? And I've tried over the last 20 years unsuccessfully, and it's fallen on deaf ears.
No, I hear you, Mark. No, this is very fruitful. I really appreciate in my role at the Post-Gazette, I have had meetings with the school superintendent. It's been a little while, but I have had some of those conversations. I will say I've found that the school district can be a little bit more difficult to navigate in some specs than other parts of the city's kind of institutions. But I think your criticism is well taken. Here's my pushback. I think something that's frustrating for me, and that I think is frustrating for a lot of folks, is that very often the response that you get out of the school district is basically stop with the negativity and as if talking about the problems is the problem. And I think it's absolutely fair to say that it's a complicated situation. And could it use more nuance from time to time? Mark, I completely agree. I think that's a very fair criticism of the way the school district is often talked about. But at the same time, the problems with the school district is not perception. Like there are real problems. And I think sometimes the school district can become I think this is part of the cultural problem with the school district, is it can become very defensive. And in a way that makes it difficult to acknowledge the real struggles, as if, again, it's a perception problem and not a reality problem. And I think that the perception may sometimes, I mean, Kappa's great. There's a lot. I always try to say, you know, there are bazillion teachers in the district who are swimming against the current, trying to do great work, succeeding in doing great work. And I think that is often goes by the wayside. But the flip side of it is that it's not just a perception problem.
Well, I can meet you halfway on that one, because for those sitting on the outside or sitting in the cheap seats, that would be the argument to make. But those of us who have rolled up our sleeves and have been intimately involved in trying to make a difference, we would push back,
mm-hmm.
because we believe that the perception is the major problem. Because here's the issue.
And Mark, I'm going to have to go to a break. So I just make your point. I really want to hear it, but
okay.
I just wanted to let you know.
If I'm working hard in the school district and making some things happening and doing very well, maybe some national attention, I would expect to hear that echoed in the community. When we come out, we don't get that. We get the opposite of the pounding and investigative reports and look who's doing this. And it just doesn't connect. And so you cannot walk away and say that you were not involved in the demise, you not meaning you, but the media, mm-hmm. in the demise or the issue of the public schools. You haven't been a friend, man. And, you know, give balance. Talk about it. Hey, now, have you ever met and talked to the finance director and let him walk you through how finance works and what they're faced with each and every day.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I have. I've actually had, it was years ago. I mean, in fairness, it was not recent. But no, I had a very impressive conversation with Ronald Joseph. I think he's an impressive person. Sir. I think that, in fact, and Mark, I am going to let you go and to get to this break, but I'll just say, I actually, this is one of the reasons that outside of the school board where I am pretty brutal, I try not to lay too much at the feet of individuals because I think it's a structural and cultural problem primarily. And I think it is fair to say that there are competent and caring people at the school district. There's no question about it. But I cannot shake, and in my experience and in the visible nature of the way some of these meetings go, there, I think a lot of these people are devoured by a culture that needs radical reform. And then they and the students can thrive more. Back after this. Alrighty, folks. Brandon McGinley filling in this afternoon for Marty. I'm a columnist at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. And, you know, as we've been talking about, you know, how to make the city, you know, more welcoming to kids, how to resolve some of the questions of behavior and discipline that have come up, but also talking about city finances and how to prioritize. Does the city need more money? It got me thinking about an idea that I heard about recently, and I'm going to bring on Councilwoman Barb Warwick from Greenfield, or The Run, excuse me, to talk about it, which is an example of the kind of thing where, you know, the city needs resources to do and to do well. And the kind of thing that makes me open to raising a little more money to do. So, Councilwoman, tell me about your idea for some more youth programming in the city.
Yeah. So, I'm very excited about. So, I'm actually the chair for City Parks, the council chair, and I've been working with Director Sloan, who's Mayor O'Connor's new director of City Parks, on a pilot program at Mifflin School. That's a school in my district, on the south. To provide after-school programming at a PPS school in a PPS building using city staff and city resources. So just to clarify, at the City of Pittsburgh, at our rec centers, we provide really, really outstanding out-of-school care, right? So this is something that the city already does. So and
my kids benefit from it. My kids are at Brookline Rec Center all the time. So yeah.
Absolutely. My kids are at Greenfield, right? So McGee Rec, right? Yep. So after school, you know, my youngest goes to Greenfield School at 3:00. The staff at McGee walk over to Greenfield, scoop up the kids, bring them back to the rec, and he's there till 5:30-6. He loves it, right? But the problem is that if you don't have a city rec in your neighborhood, you don't have access to this service, right? So here we have PPS. They've got buildings, right? We've got the staff and the know-how to do this type of out-of-school programming. We also do really fantastic summer programming also with the recs, right? People, you know, for our summer camps at the rec, people wait. They camp out like at 1 a.m. Yep. to sign up for the McGee summer program, right? Just for like a month of free care in the summer, right? So this is really, really critical for families. So I'm very excited about this pilot. I'm so glad that Mayor O'Connor and his administration at City Parks have decided to move forward with it. Just to give it a try, because I think that this partnership with PPS not only can provide really desperately needed free out of school time care for our Pittsburgh families, but it can also be a draw for PPS, right? Yeah. That's a major incentive. If I'm a parent and I'm picking a school for my new, you know, kindergartner or whatever, having a school that offers after school care till 6 p.m. in the building is a major, major convenience.
I've been a little hard on PPS during this show, but the previous caller made a point that is something that is, this is a really good example of, which is how can the city help PPS in its mission? How can, because these two institutions, they're mutually dependent on each other. Neither can really thrive without the other, but they kind of live in their separate little worlds. This would be a great way to break down some of those barriers, it sounds like.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, over the past years, the relationship and the collaboration with PPS has really been a lot stronger, is my understanding.
Yeah.
It is a good working relationship at this point. Lots of good anti-violence work, violence interruption work has been done, you know, together with the city and in the schools. And this, to me, feels like an extension of that.
That's exactly what I was going to say, because when I talk to folks down in Market Square, like the outreach workers down in Market Square, one of the things they talk about is if there's more programming in the neighborhoods, then kids will be happy to be closer to home instead of feeling like they have to go downtown and you know, violence interruption and just making the neighborhoods places where people not just they already want to be there, but places where they feel like they can be.
Right. And I think the thing to really understand is that, you know, historically, the city has kind of, so we talk about the third space, right? The third space is for kids. The space part is not really the problem. There are plenty of buildings in Pittsburgh, right? There's churches, there are plenty of locations to be. The problem is the staffing. And for too long, the city, which, you know, it is in our, you know, it is our job to provide this out of school care. We do it and we do it well through our City Parks team. Mm-hmm. But we don't do it if you don't have a rec center. So that to me is a real slam dunk, I think, for the mayor to, you know, expand this City Parks programming. The spaces are there. What folks need are the people. They need the staff. They need the resources. Yep. And that's something that we know how to do at the city. We know how to do it very well.
Yeah, that's a great point. And hey, Councilwoman, thanks so much for coming on. I gotta get to the news, but I think you're right. I mean, it's the kind of thing that while I try to convince people that the city does have strengths, it really does. I mean, I live in the city because there are things that the city can do that, frankly, the private sector can't do as well. And there are things that just that you need the public sector to do. And this is the kind of thing that is one of them. So I appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Take care.
Okay. Thanks. Bye-bye. All righty. We'll be back after this news break.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team, but not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
People say, "I got you," all the time. Dads say it to their kids the first time they ride a bike. Friends say it to other friends when they buy them lunch. It's a good thing when someone's got you. It's especially good when someone's got you with important things like your health. And that's where WeShare's got you. We got you with a massive nationwide network of over 1 million doctors, which means you can likely keep your current doctor you know and trust. We got you with affordable prices that can save individuals up to $5,000 annually compared to traditional insurance, and save families even more. And we've got you with over 68,000 CVS Caremark pharmacies across the country. If you're tired of overpriced health insurance bills, come visit us at WeShareHealth.org or call 1-888-WeShare.
other smart Americans are making the switch every day. In a world filled with companies that cost you, it's nice to have one that's got you. We share health. We got you.
Diamond Dynasty has all new Red Diamond cards and World Baseball Classic content in MLB The Show 26. Collect your favorites and compete against the best. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players Inc.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
What if the thing you're listening to right now never got interrupted? What if it could play uninterrupted from room to room on Sonos? What if you start with two Sonos speakers just to see how it feels? What if you really like how it feels and you become a Sonos person who can't stop saying to their friends, "What if you start with two Sonos speakers just to see how it feels?" Because it's not magic, but it's not not magic.